Morning, Rabbi Yosef.
Morning.
Okay, let's go. Says the Gemara, Daf Yud Tes Omed Aleph. The last Gemara that we learned, quite a bit of it actually, was Agoda. Divrei Agoda, which of course is go. Everybody wants to carry the Oroin, and therefore they all have the exemption of Oisik b'mitzvah, and they all do not have to recite Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabban, Ein Moitzien Esameis Samuch L'Kriyat Shema. You do not take out the dead body close to the time of Kriyat Shema. Why? For the obvious reason, because that way, as Rashi says right at the bottom, on the first very wide line, because if you take out the mace just before the Zman of Kriya Shema, which obviously means just before the end of Soif Zman Kriya Shema, then you're going to put everybody in a position, or at least some people in a position, where they'll be mevatel, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So you'd much rather say Kriya Shema, it'll take you 3 minutes, and then do the Levaya. It makes no difference, l'chore, whether you bury the dead now or in 3 minutes. But it does make a difference to Kriya Shema. So therefore, you should do the Levaya afterwards, but first to Kriya Shema. However, Ve'im hischilu e'mafsikin. But if they did start, even though they should not perhaps have done so, then you're not mafsik. You continue the Levaya, and whoever's exempt is exempt. And they will have the p'tor of being Oisik b'mitzvah. Says the Gemara, a very, very strange halacha. Aini, the Gemara asks, Vahar of Yosef, Afkuhu, Samuch, Lekriya Shema. But Rabbi Yosef, Afkuhu, what does Afkuhu mean? Afkuhu means took out the mace. Rabbi Yosef did take out the mace just before Kriya Shema, which means that he's going to end up being Mevatel the mitzvah. So how can you tell me that you carry on the Levaya if it's begun, but do not begin Lechatchila close to the end of Kriya Shema, because that way you'll end up being Mevatel the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Yosef did do. Says the Gemara, Odom Choshuv Shani. A prominent person is different. Now, at first sight, this doesn't seem to make any sense. What does that mean, Odom Choshuv Shani? A prominent person is different. Well, he doesn't have to say Kriya Shema. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah on Sinai, except to people who are Choshuvim, they don't need to do the mitzvahs. When the Torah says you have to shake lulav, are there any exceptions to that? Any exception to who puts on tefillin, who eats matzah? Kriya Shema all of a sudden doesn't apply to an Odom Choshuv. What is that supposed to mean? So it's a whole sugya. But the bottom line is that indeed an Odom Choshuv does have different exemptions, at least with regard to Limud Torah. Kriya Shema is essentially reciting Torah, and an Odom Choshuv is learning Torah the whole time. So it's a whole discussion, but of course this should not be misunderstood. An Odom Choshuv does not have a general exemption from mitzvahs, chas v'shalom. If you wouldn't do mitzvahs, you would not be an Olam Choshev. It's a specific exemption with regard to Kriya Shema. Fascinatingly, the Mishnah Berurah says that this halacha does not apply anymore. Because in our generation, we don't have anybody who could clearly be classified as an Olam Choshev. But at least in the times of the Gemara, you could. Says the Gemara, remember we distinguished in the Mishnah between Shelifnei Hamita v'Shela Acha Hamita, those who are about to carry the mace and those who have done so already. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ha'oiskim Behesped. Now we haven't discussed this until now. Until now we've been discussing if they're actually oisik in the levaya itself. So clearly that's being oisik b'mitzvah. But when you oisik b'hesped, so then not everybody is actively involved in the hesped. Obviously there's one person who is saying the hesped and everybody else is listening. So imagine if everybody's listening to the hesped and they look at their clocks and they realize they're going to miss the sosman kriya shema. Rav Yosef, you'll remember, in London, the big Rav in Stamford Hill, Rav Duna, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. You've heard of Rav Duna, Rav Yosef? In Stamford Hill. He was nifta a number of years ago.
Dion Duna?
Yes, his father.
Oh, his father.
His father was nifta on Erev Pesach morning. Imagine the busiest day of the year to do a levaya. So I went with my father to the levaya in Stamford Hill, and it was about lunch, or it was early morning, when all of a sudden they realized in the middle of the levaya, it's coming to the zman of Biur Chometz, where everybody has to say Kol Chamira. So they announced at the levaya, everybody should say Kol Chamira. It was the most surreal sight. Can you imagine? We've got thousands of people at the levaya all reciting Kol Chamira. But I'll call upon him, with regard to Kriya Shema, so this now needs to be discussed. Who will get the exemption, if anybody, from Kriya Shema at the time of Hespedim? So the Gemara says, Tan Rabon, Ho'oiskin behesped. Bizman shahameis mutal lifnehem. If the mace is lying in front of them. We have discussed early on in the Perek that there is a specific issa of being Makayim mitzvahs in the presence of a mace. And that's what's called loyeg l'rosh, mocking the poor. Somebody who's dead can no longer perform mitzvahs, and by doing so, right in front of him is considered to be mocking him. So if the mace is lying there, and they're now carrying out the hespedim, so what do you do? Says the Gemara, Nishmotim echod echod. What does nishmotim mean? They slip away. They slip away. So one by one, you can't have the whole crowd, obviously, en masse, all disappearing to say Kriya Shema, because then the one saying a hesped is not talking to anybody. So you have a large crowd. So one by one, nishmotim, they will slip away, the koirin, and they will recite Kriya Shema. So here the obvious pshat is because they do not have the exemption of being oisik b'mitzvah, because they're not all needed for the mitzvah. You can quite happily have most of the crowd there, and one by one they will slip away and nothing will happen. Says the Gemara, but ein hameis muta lifneihem, if the mace is not there. What does that mean? The mace is not there, says Rashi, the bottom of the Amud. Ein hameis muta lifneihem, shehameis bebayis acher. The mace is in a different bayis, or a different room. Veheim maspidin oisoi kan. And they are saying a hesped for him here, which can sometimes happen. So the mace is in one room, or in one house. The hespedim are going on in a different house. And now you do not have any issue of loyeg l'rosh. Therefore, there's no need to slip away in order to say Kriya Shema. You might as well say Kriya Shema exactly where you are. And that's what the Gemara says. Ein ha-meis muta lefneim, ein yoshvim v'koyrim. They can sit down and say Kriya Shema right there. But v'hu yoshev doimim. But he, who's he? Rashi says, ha'ovel, the ovel themselves is yoshev v'doimim. He has to sit in silence. And this, of course, is the halacha that we've already learned of aninus, because he is an oinin. The rest of them are not avelim, they're not oinanim, therefore they could say Kriya Shema. If they were busy with the levaya itself, that's a different story, the oisik b'mitzvah. But they're not, they're just patiently listening to the hespedim. So therefore, if the mace is lying in front of them, they should slip away and say Kriya Shema, and then come back. If the mace is not there, then they could say Krishma right there, except for the oval, it has to be Yoshev V'doimim. Heim Oimdim Umispalalim. They should also stand up to Daven, meaning they don't have any exemption, either with regard to Kriya Shema or with regard to Tefillah. They're not being Oisek B'mitzvah. So having said Kriya Shema, they should now stand up to Daven. But again, that does not apply to him. V'hu, what about the Oval himself? Oimed Umatstik Olav Esadin. Now this is a very delicate thing. We know there is a process called Tziduk Hadin. Tziduk Hadin literally translated means, as it were, you are justifying, as it were, the din. So somebody has lost a close family member. There is Tziduk Hadin. He has to express his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he's ma'amin be'emuma shalema, that this is the best thing. That is his chiyuv. So what exactly does he say? They are busy davening. They are busy saying Kriya Shema. He does not do that. What does he do? Tziduk Hadin, says the Gemara of Oimer, and he says as follows. Ribboin Ho'ilome, master of the world. Harbe Chotosi Lefonecho. I have sinned very much against you. Veloi Nifrato Mimeni, and you have not seeking that you've not sought vengeance or paid up from me, echad min yelef, even at one in a thousandth. In other words, this difficult situation that he finds himself in at the moment, he's expressing that he does not have any complaints against the Ribbono shel Olam, and to the contrary, he realizes that this is all due to aveiros, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not even paid up, as it were, one in a thousandth. This is part of his tefillah. May it be your desire, Hashem Elokeinu, shetigdoir pirtzoseinu, that you should fence up our breaches. Pirtzah is like a hole in a fence, meaning we should hear besurais toivos, upirtzos kolam chobes Yisrael. Pirtzah over here could mean a reference to aveiros. A person has a fence around him. He's surrounded by a wall of mitzvahs, and the opposite is of aveiros. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having just expressed that it's the aveiros that brought about this tragedy in the first place, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata d'shmaya to fence up the breaches in the fence. Upirtzos kol amcho beis Yisrael berachamim. That is what we call the crux of the main body of Tziduk Hadin. However, Omar Abaya, loy mi boye leile inesh lemei marochi. Abaya disagrees. And Abaya says, no, it is not required of a person to say this. Loy mi boye le, we do not require le inesh lemei marochi. A person should not say this. I disagree. It's better if you don't say it. It's better if you don't say what? Says the last Rashi on the Omud. L'mei ma'achi, don't say loy nifrata mimeni. Don't say those three words. You have not, as it were, paid up from me yet. Don't say that. Why? The mashma, because the implication is hafreya, pay up. There's an expression, a terrible expression in English, but tempting fate. If you say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have sinned a lot and you have not paid up for me even a thousandth, so basically what are you trying to hint? It sounds like, please pay up. It's as if you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for more tzoris. Don't tempt fate. Says the Gemara, Loi mi boyele le'inesh le'mei ma'achi. A person is not required to say this. To the contrary, it's advisable that he does not say it. Why? To Omer Reb Shimon ben Lakish, v'chein tona mishmei de Reb Yosi, la'oilam al yiftach odom piv. A person should never open his mouth to the satan. So like I said, in English, they call it tempting fate. There's no such thing as fate. Everything is ashgacha pratis. but don't open your mouth to the satan. Meaning, once you indicate in some way as if to say you want sorrows, even though, of course, that's the last thing that he wants. But if by saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all the punishment you've given me, that's only a thousandth of what I deserve. Oh, really? What, you want more? That's what it sounds like. So we don't even utter something like that. Why not? V'omer of Yosef, Mikra, what is the pasuk that backs up this notion? Shenema, because it says, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Kim'at kesedoim hayinu. It says that we were almost attacked by Sedoim. So you're being peseach piv against the Satan. Ah, you were almost attacked by Sedoim. Do you want Sedoim to come? Maya hader lehu novi. And what did the novi respond to them? Shimud var Hashem ketzine Sedoim. The next thing you know, Sedoim are on their way. So because you, as it were, tempted fate, or you were peseach piv, al tiftach peh, it's called. So therefore, don't, as it were, bring tzaris upon yourself. Now, this is, of course, a very difficult concept to understand, because we would have said that l'chayra, everything is ashkacha protis. So if you deserve it, it'll come your way. And if you don't deserve it, it will not come your way. So why would it make a difference whether I spoke about it or not? And yet this is the chiddush of the Gemara, that apparently it does play a role what a person speaks about. And therefore, if at the Levaya he says, I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was all brought about through my Averas, and you've only paid up not even one in a thousand, then you are, as it were, hinting that please pay up more, and that's the last thing that you want. Okay. Says the Gemara, this is going back to the Mishnah. Kavru es hameis v'chazru. So if you remember, we're going through the Kavura process. Let's talk about the Kavura, the Levaya, the Hespedim. Now what follows all of that? We saw in the Mishnah the Shura, where the crowd formed two lines, and the Avelim walk through, and everybody's wishing them, Hamokim minachem eschem. So after they've now come back from the Kavura, the question is, do they have time to say Kriya Shema before forming the Shura? So it says, Im yecholim lahaschil v'ligmoir es kula. The Lashna of the Mishnah was, if they're able to finish Shema. Now it's true, the Gemara didn't spell it out, but the implication is, what does it mean? You have time to finish saying Shema. L'chayr, that means the entire Shema. And that's what the Gemara's medayik. Im yecholim lahaschil v'ligmoir es kula. In, comma. It sounds like if you have time to read the entire Kriya Shema, then yes, indeed, that's what you would do. And then you form the Shura. With the implication being, Avol Perek Echod. But if you've only got enough time to do one Perek or Pasuk Echod, then like, then you wouldn't. It's either all or nothing. And it sounds, you'd only say Kriya Shema if you have time to say it's in entirety. If you've only got time to say one Perek or even one Pasuk, then no. The Raminu, we're asking a Stira. What's the stira? We've got a braisa that says, Kovru es hameis, they buried the dead, the chazru, and then they returned. So it says, Im yecholim lahaschil, the ligmoir, if they are able to start and finish, afilu perek echod, oi posuk echod, ? The implication of our Mishnah was, remember the Mishnah expressed it in very vague terms. The Mishnah says, if you can finish Shema, it sounds like finish all of Shema. And yet we have a Braisa that says, no, it's not all or nothing. Even if you can finish part of Shema, then it's also worthwhile. And that's what you should do, a Perek or a Pasuk. Says the Gemara, you're quite right. That's exactly what our Mishnah means as well. It's true the Mishnah didn't spell it out. Hocha nami ka'omar. Remember, we always say ka'omar means this is what is meant. It's true the Mishnah did not spell it out. The Mishnah says, if you can finish. So it does sound like finish the whole of Shema. Says the Gemara, no, that's not what it means. It means if you finish part of Shema. Im hocha nami ka'omar. So too over here, this is exactly what's meant. Im yecholim lahaschil. If you're able to begin the ligmor afilu perek echod, even if it's just one perek, or afilu pasuk echod, or even if it's just one pasuk, ad shelo yagiu l'shura, until the shura has not yet begun, then yaschilu, yes, you should begin. V'im lav lo yaschilu, if not, then you should not begin. So therefore, there is no contradiction whatsoever between the Mishnah and the Braisa, albeit that the Mishnah does not clearly spell it out. The Mishnah is a little bit vague, and there would have been room for mistake to think that the Mishnah is teaching us you have to read the entire Shema, to which the Gemara is telling us, no, don't make that mistake. That's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means even if you've only got time for one perek, so say one perek, and you've only got time for one posuk, say one posuk, but less than that, not. You can't say half a posuk.
So what lechatchila? What do we do? Is it a pasuk or is it a parak?
Even a pasuk. The Mishnah is just telling me in stages of chidushim. Even a parak, and in fact, even a pasuk. So you're quite right. If it's a pasuk, kol shekein in a parak, but not half a pasuk. Yeah. You're not allowed to say half a pasuk. The Gemara teaches us that any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah. And we see from Moshe Rabbeinu where psukim begin and end, and we cannot say half psukim. Which, by the way, triggers all types of questions, because we do exactly that in many, many places. We all did it on Friday night. Vayihi erev, vayihi voike, yoyim ashishi, etc., etc. Vayichulu hashamayim is not a complete pasuk. Vayihi erev, vayihi voike is the middle of a pasuk. So how can you do that? How can you start in the middle of a pasuk? And many, many other places as well. It's interesting. We say every day in davening, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich Lo'ilom Voed. But we need to know there is no such pasuk. Common mistake. There is no pasuk, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloich Lo'ilom Voed. It is actually an amalgamation of three different psukim. Hashem Melech is one place, Hashem Moloch is a different place, Hashem Yiloch is a third place. The question is, so how can you do that? You're chopping up Sukkim into three. How can you do that? Either way, this is a big discussion, not for now. Okay, let's continue with the Gemara, Yud Tes Omed Beis. So now we're talking about those who are in the Shura. They're in the line. The Avelim are passing through. So now they have, once again, the Shura have the exemption of Oisik B'mitzvah. By the way, as very often happens, just as we are learning these sugyas of Oisik B'mitzvah and Aninus, what would you say, Rabbeisai, to the following Shaila and the Shaila last week? Very, very difficult question. It's a simple, straightforward question, but the answer is difficult. We know that an Oinein is not Makayim Mitzvahs, period. Not only that, we saw a discussion, the Shulchan Aruch says, even if he wants to be Makayim Mitzvahs, he is not Makayim Mitzvahs. His job is to take care of the dead. That's what his job is. So you might remember we did discuss, what do you do with an ovil who's flying on a plane to the Levaya? Very common shaila. Lechoira, whilst he's on the plane, there's not much he can do for the Levaya. Maybe nothing. So does that mean the avelus, the aninus doesn't apply? If he has a drink on the airplane, does he make a bracha or he doesn't make a bracha? Big discussion. Either way, when is there no halacha of aninus? On Shabbos. If somebody passes away on Shabbos, even though the kavura has not yet taken place, but there's no aninus. If you remember, we saw in the Gemara, there'd be one exception. Remember the exception? If towards the end of Shabbos, he has to walk to the end of the tchum to arrange the oroin or the tachrichim, okay, let's say that. But Shabbos morning or Friday night, there's absolutely nothing you can do in arranging the levayas. The aninus does not apply. So here comes the big question. Somebody 2 weeks ago passed away early Friday morning in London. Early Friday morning. The levaya is scheduled to take place on Motzeh Shabbos. Why the delay? Because the levaya is eventually coming to Eretz Yisrael on Sunday morning. And there's definitely no time on Friday to fly the mace over to Eretz Yisrael. So there's no point in having a levaya in London because you're going to have to wait till Motzeh Shabbos anyway until you can fly the mace over to Eretz Yisrael. So instead, they're going to do the levaya on Motzeh Shabbos. So now, Friday, what are the Avelim busy doing? Certainly busy arranging the kavura, no question about it. Especially in this particular case, very, very complicated arrangements. There's a levaya in England. There's a levaya in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, certainly the Avelim are all classified as an oinein, and they're not Mekayim mitzvahs. So here comes the big question. Straightforward, simple question, not simple to paskin. When does that aninus stop? Shabbos, as we mentioned before, there's no aninus. Everything is put on hold. So what about 10 minutes before Shabbos? Do they daven mincha? This was the big shayla. Do the Avelim, must they or can they daven mincha? They obviously can't daven mincha gedolah at lunchtime because there's still much work that can be done for the purposes of the kavura. But 10 minutes before Shabbos, if for argument's sake, Shabbos at 4 o'clock, 10 to 4, there is nothing more that can be done. Presumably anything that needed to be done has now been done, and if it hasn't, there's nothing you can do now. It's too close to Shabbos. So nobody's going to answer your phone calls. There's nothing to arrange. All offices are shut. There is absolutely nothing you can do now. So would we say that aninus gets suspended like it does on Shabbos? Huge nafka mina la'alocha, would they daven mincha? So based on logic, I think we would all agree that yes, there is a very good logical argument to say that they should daven mincha. There's no aninus. If you tell them not to daven mincha, they're just going to be literally sitting around twiddling their fingers. There's nothing for them to do. On Shabbos, as mentioned, they certainly do not have a halachic status of aninus. The contrary, they have to go to shul, say kaddish. It's a very big discussion. The bottom line, halacha lemaisa, it does seem to be that indeed that's halacha and they should daven mincha, which does seem the logical thing to suggest, but it's not poshut. Not poshut. But this is a shaila that cropped up literally just last week, 2 weeks ago. Okay, let's make a start to the next Gemara. Tana Rabbanon. So we spoke about the people in the Shura. What's the Shura? Those are these lines of comforters, people who have attended the Levaya, and now they are waiting to give Tanchumim to the Avelim. So once again, if you are in the Shura, then you're an Oisik B'mitzvah. So Tana Rabbanon, Shura Horoye Panima Petura. As we know, if we've ever been to Levaya, especially if there's a big crowd, not everybody is, as it were, in the front line. You can have a line which is maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 thick. So the ones who are not directly in the front and they cannot see the Avelim, if they're standing at the back, it's all very nice that they say Amokim Yenachem, but the Avelim don't feel very comforted by them because they can't even see them. So l'chayre, they should not have a heter, a p'tur of Isaac b'mitzvah. That's what the Gemara says. Tana Rabba Omam, Shura, the ro haroya panima. Those who can see inward and they can see the avelim patura, they indeed are exempt. But if they cannot see inward, why can't they see inward? Because they're standing at the back of the crowd and there are people in front of them obstructing their view. Then chayeves. So then that row of people standing at the back, because they can't see inward, they can't be menachem the avelim, so they're obviously chayev in Kriya Shema, they have no exemption. Says Rashi, top Rashi, horoye panima es chalal hahekef, the outer circumference, as it were, acharei shura hapanimis, behind the innermost row. The ha'ovel yeshev sham, the ovel is sitting in the middle or walking in the middle, and those who are on the outside, on the perimeter, they cannot see the ovel, neither can the ovel see them. So you can hardly say that they are being oisek b'mitzvah. And indeed, that's why the Gemara says they're chayev. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, fascinating halacha. Haboim machmas ha'ovel peturin. Machmas atzmon chayovim. It all depends why are they there. Look at Rashi. Machmas atzmon v'loi miach machmas kovod. They have not come to be mechabed or to comfort the mourners. Shaloi bo'u lenachem. They didn't come to comfort anybody. Elo lirois es hamu'ura, just to see the incident. As we know, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, if you have an ambulance that's going down the road, you'll have 50 kids running after it to see, have a good look at what's going on. Not a very pleasant thing to do. So to a telavaya, people like action. So if they're standing there watching the scene, again, you cannot say that they're being oisik b'mitzvah, because tragically, they're not being oisik b'mitzvah, they're just being oisik in keeping themselves entertained. They want to see who's dead, who, what's happened, who's getting hespeid in. They're not being mechabed the mace at all. So says Rabbi Yehuda, therefore it depends. If they're there because of the ovel, they feel a personal connection either with the person who passed away or the avelim, then certainly that's called they're being oisig b'mitzvah, they would have a p'tur. But if they're there, machmas atzmon, they're just there for their own entertainment, for want of a better word, then there's no reason in the world why they should have an exemption, and they should obviously say Kriya Shema. Okay, let's make a start at least to the next sugya, a big sugya coming up, very, very important sugya.
Rav, is Yehuda saying, regardless of where you are in the line, it doesn't matter. It's all your intention.
So I'm not clear about that. I didn't have a chance to look in the Shulchan Aruch. It sounds like, is Rav Yehuda adding, you're asking, or is he disagreeing? I'd have to look in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's make a start. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Very, very world famous halacha this. And as we'll all see, it has halachic and hashkafic connotations. Hamoitze kilayim bebigdoi. Imagine a tragic situation, very unfortunate. You're walking down the street and all of a sudden you detect that in your clothing that you're wearing, there is kilayim. Shatnas, isa doiraisa, to wear shatnas. So what are you going to do? So we would all say, well, you better run home as quick as you can. One moment. Who gives you a heter to run home? Every moment you're wearing that beged, you're over another instant, deiraisa. Says the Gemara, indeed, poishton. You have to take off the clothing, afilu b'shuk, even if you are standing in the middle of a street. And we'll all ask immediately, one second, what happened to kovod habriyos, human dignity? The answer is we consider kovod habriyos extremely severe. It's true. but we consider halacha as even more important. And the Gemara says, my taima, ein chochma, the ein tevuna, the ein eitza leneged Hashem. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. There is no wisdom, there is no planning, there's no tevuna. Don't do tricks against the Rabbein Shleilam. Or we would say it, no shtick. If you're wearing shatnez, take it off. It's very uncomfortable and embarrassing. It's too bad.
I learned this Gemara before, 45 years ago.
You say this to Gemara.
This is where I learned about shatnez.
Right.
Gemara is very emphatic. Gemara is
very, very emphatic. You've got to take off the clothes, although don't do this yet. We will see, Miss Hashem, there are exceptions. But the Gemara says in conclusion, Kol Mokoy, Sheyesh Chilul Hashem, Ein Cholkin Kovoy L'Rav. If there's an issue of Chilul Hashem, then we're not now concerned with giving Kovoy to this one, to that one. You'll say, yeah, but the person walking down the street is a very prominent person. He's a big Rosh Hashiva. He's a big Talmud Chacham. It's a kavod for him. But kavod for Hashem is more important. Now we'll see there are many, many. That's why this is a very big sugya. This has far-reaching ramifications. What happens if you're walking down the street? This is Negea Halacha Lemaisa, by the way, everybody. If you're walking down the street and suddenly you notice that your tzitzis have snapped. Now, we're not getting involved now in a whole Hilchus tzitzis discussion, but let's just assume we're talking about a case where the tzitzis are possible. It's not so clear when they are and when they're not. But let's say you notice the whole tzitzis have gone. So every moment you're now wearing that beged, you're over an issa. So would you have to take it off? Now, in our day and age, it's not so severe. So you can take it off. We're still wearing a shirt and we're wearing a jacket. But in the times of Chazal, imagine that was your only beged. Once again, you'd have to take it off. Or would you? We'll see Mitz Hashem in the continuation of the Gemara. Beis Hashem will continue tomorrow.
Shakoach.
Okay, have a great day, everybody.